Welcome to Healthy Lifestyles with Barbara Mendez on TribecaRadio.net. This is Barbara, and I'm a registered pharmacist and nutritionist in private practice in New York City. Thanks for tuning in. Since you're listening online, you might want to check out my website. That site is www.lifestylenutrients.net. My guest today is Jane Gattanis. Jane and I are continuing the discussion on various detoxification methods that I began 2 weeks ago on a show about how to stay healthy during the summer with all the partying and things that take place during the summer months. Last week, I had Lisa Charles on. Lisa is a rep for Standard Process, and we discussed a detoxification cleanse that Standard Process offers that I often use in my practice to help clients cleanse and detoxify before embarking on a more customized protocol. So today, Jane and I will be focusing on two organ systems that are associated with autumn, the large intestine and the lungs. So many of you may not know that autumn is most important time for major cleansing. You know, you're coming off the summer, you go to all these parties, you're drinking, things like this. You want to get rid of all the toxins of the summer as you head into the cooler months where diets are heavier. They're heavier in nature, a little greasier, and a little bit more toxic to the body. So you want to clean out before you kind of start incorporating all those heavier foods. So in Chinese medicine, autumn is associated with metal, which represents the mineral ores and salts of the earth. The organs associated with metal are the large intestine and the lungs, and the tissues of the body governed by metal are the skin and body hair. Therefore, health of the large intestine and the lungs is reflected in the quality and the health of your hair and your skin. So if you have somebody, you see somebody with lots of acne or eczema, things like this, that's often related to lung health. If you see somebody with brittle hair, hair that's falling out, also can it be associated with lung health, but also can be associated with adrenal health, which, you know, is another show. So if you're a person that experiences these problems with the lungs, such as congestion or asthma, or problems with the large intestine, such as constipation or irritable bowel syndrome, things like this, or if you're just concerned overall about your health, then you should stay tuned. During today's show, Jane and I will be discussing primarily the detoxification of emotional toxicity. So the last two shows were really about removing toxins on a physical plane, so removing toxins from the body, from the tissues, from the organs. Today we'll be discussing more about emotional toxicity and how that could often be as harmful to your health as environmental toxicity. So Jane, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I want to just give a little bio on you. Jane has her master's degree in occupational therapy. She's also trained in cranial, sacral, visceral, and somato-emotional release therapies, which she studied at the Ubletter Institute in Florida. Jane is in private practice in New York City, where she integrates her different healing modalities to create optimal physical, emotional, and mental health. And you're working on your website right now, right?
Yes.
But if you kind of want to bookmark this for the future, the website is www.janegattanis.com. JaneGattanis.com. So thanks for coming today, Jane.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. So energetically speaking, what are some of the problems or issues that get trapped in the lungs? We're going to start with the lungs, okay? The lungs in Chinese medicine are yin-yang organs with the large intestine. So what affects one usually affects the other. So they kind of have opposing and similar energies. So what are some of the problems and issues that you see get trapped in the lungs that will lead to problems down the road if they're not processed or released?
Primarily what I see in my work is grief, and that this can be grief in somebody's lifetime. This can be grief from when they're very young, or it seems sometimes even somebody else's grief, perhaps a baby that whose mother transmits grief, not intentionally, but you know, through to their baby. So birth can be grief-oriented or a grief. So very often that's where grief seems to sit in the body, is in the lungs, especially in the left lung.
Okay. Why the left?
I don't know.
That's interesting. I wonder why the left.
Maybe because it's associated with the heart.
Maybe.
I don't know.
You know, I also find that grief is, you know, I think that in Chinese medicine they say that the lungs are the seat of grief. So when you see somebody with lung cancer, or when you see somebody with breast cancer, because it's in the same area, it's often associated with grief or sadness or unprocessed emotions. So, you know, you and I have this discussion all the time that you have to be really careful when you put that information out there, because people interpret that to mean is that they have done something wrong, that they're wrong, or they've created their own cancer. And that is not at all what we're saying. What we're saying is that we all have stuff. We all have unprocessed emotions. We all have a history that is often muddled and confusing and scary. And it's how you deal with that information. Do you talk about it? Do you process it? Do you kind of move it through your system? Or do you just lock it away in a capsule and put it somewhere? So it's really all about that.
Yes. And I think also in my line of work, I find that people have a persistent pain or a persistent side of their body or area of their body that something always seems to be happening to it. Mm-hmm. Or the doctor says there's nothing wrong with it and the patient says, but I still see a lot of pain there. And very often that's because it's emotional. It's not physical.
Right.
And so it's very important to go to a body worker and have and investigate that. It could be the lung, may be grief, or sometimes if it's in the liver area, it could be anger.
Mm-hmm.
There are the gallbladder, it could be stress, or the stomach could be stress. So it's important to investigate that area, especially if there aren't physical findings, because very often they are emotionally based.
Okay. You had mentioned a story. You were dealing with a patient that had lung cancer who had a lung removed, the left lung removed, yet she was still experiencing pain.
Yes.
In that area. Can you tell me that story or tell us that story so people can – do you mind?
No, not at all. It was interesting. She was an older lady, pretty intense, dramatic kind of person, writer, artist, playwright. And she came to me after her lung was removed from cancer, but she still had excruciating pain, and the doctor could not figure out what that pain was from. And so we just started to work. And during the sessions, a lot of grief came up, a lot of grief. And after the session, she would feel better. But I would also say, you need to process this even more so that you can make sense of it. And she was a painter. And I said, go home and paint the situation that just came up in our therapeutic session, mm-hmm. so that you can really dwell in it and you can really be with it. And then you can really paint a portrait of it. And so that it's an experience that you can manifest in any way that you perceived it, so that you can process it. And she really felt better. And so the pain that she had in her lung wasn't there.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it wasn't from scarring from surgery. It really was more of an energetic, emotional component to her problem.
Right. And
perhaps that's why she got lung cancer in the first place,
right,
because she had so much grief. I don't know, but certainly the pain dissipated a lot when she dealt with her issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, my mother-in-law died of breast cancer. Well, she had breast cancer, and then 9 years later she developed lung cancer, which was metastatic, because she had never smoked in her life. And my mother-in-law had a really sad history. She was sent over from Sicily with her younger brother when she was 8 years old. Like, just, they sprung it on her one morning. They basically packed her up and sent her off without giving her any warning. Then they told her, don't cry because you got to be strong for your little brother. She's eight, okay? Send her over here to live with somebody that she never knew, you know, that was a little bit emotionally abusive. And every time I would ask her about it, I would be like, you have to be upset about this. There has to be some, no, you know, I forgive my mother. No, 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 no. And then when she was going through this whole process with the lung cancer, we took her to a lot of people that try to work through the process of the emotions. And she, one person actually hit on it, tapped into that feeling. And she said it was like being 8 years old again. I felt exactly like I felt when I was standing on that dock to get on that boat. And I never want to feel that again. Don't ever take me back to these people. So she just couldn't deal with it. It's like whatever, it was so painful that she just could not let it go. Mm-hmm. You know, not to say that she would have survived anyway. I don't know if she would have survived if she had it, you know, it was already all over the place. So maybe she would have, but maybe her soul at least would have been at peace, which I think would have been a great thing,
mm-hmm.
you know. Anyway, the lungs communicate between our inner and outer atmosphere. So illnesses such as asthma, eczema, and skin rashes are often associated with colds and lung infection. So if your lungs are a major detoxification organ, if they can't process some of the toxins in your body, then it starts to come out in your skin. So before we got together, you mentioned something about asthma. We were talking a little bit about people with asthma, and you were saying that often asthma, you felt it was something associated with ancestral grief.
I just see that sometimes. I think asthma, because babies are born very often with asthma, and you know, I always think, why are babies born with asthma? It's not like anything so traumatic has happened in their life, except maybe their birth, their babies.
Mm-hmm.
And I find very often when I work with them, I don't always get intuitive hits to something, but very often it has to do with either something about their mother's grief or even their there's something ancestral mm-hmm. about that. I worked with a little Chinese girl this morning who was adopted, and I didn't expect to find anything, but I was kind of led to her left lung, and all of a sudden I did get this intuitive hit about it wasn't really her grief. It was really her mother's, who had to give her up for adoption. Mm-hmm. And that came very strong to me. And it was released, and she cried for a second. And it wasn't a conscious understanding of what was going on, but there was an emotional, what we call cyst there, mm-hmm. which is walling off emotional pain in right. the body.
Amazing. We're going to talk a little bit more about asthma when we come back, but we need to go to a break. So you're listening to Healthy Lifestyles with Barbara Mendez on TribecaRadio.net. My guest today is Jane Gatanis, and we will be talking about how to detoxify emotional toxicity from the body. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Healthy Lifestyles with Barbara Mendez on TribecaRadio.net. My guest today is Jane Gatanis. Jane is an occupational therapist that is also trained in cranial, sacral, visceral, and somato-emotional release therapies, and she's in private practice in New York City. And today, we're continuing the discussion. This is the third show that I'm doing on detoxification, but this one's different because we're talking about how to detoxify emotional toxicity, which a lot of people don't realize it can be as detrimental to your health as physical toxicity from the environment or from the foods you eat. Emotions that are trapped in your body can have a devastating effect. So before we went to break, Jane was mentioning a story about a little Chinese girl that you worked on recently that had asthma, and you were saying how when you worked on it, you felt that what you were releasing was her mother's grief at having to birth a daughter and then have to give her up for adoption. And after you worked on it a little bit, the little girl cried, and then she felt, I guess, better, right?
Yeah. She seemed to. It's just this morning. So, but yeah, there was some kind of release there.
Yeah. And how do you work with a child? Like, do you actually verbally, like, coax her into saying, you know, into letting things come up? Like, what do you do?
No,
you
she was really young. If I work with an adult, mm-hmm. we will try to work verbally because it's much more effective mm-hmm. and much more rapid, I think. It's important for people to, most of the time, to understand what their grief is about or their anger is about. But for children, it's very nonverbal. Mm-hmm. And I work with my hands and feel where the tightness is in the body. Very often you can feel it off the body if it's very energetic mm-hmm. And emotional. And you work with it to soften it, to dissipate it, to help it release so that it's not holding on so tightly mm-hmm. in the body and affecting the organs and circulation and all of that.
Well, it's so interesting because when I tell people this, you know, that in my experience, the lungs are associated with grief and, you know, breast cancer is often associated with grief. You know, people have such a resistance to hearing that message. And I think it's because we all have some sort of grief. We all have unprocessed emotions. So then what they're hearing is, well, then I could possibly, you know, this could possibly happen to me. And people are afraid of that happening. And what I'm saying is not, you're bound to die of lung cancer if you have grief, is if you have something that's holding you, that you're holding on to emotionally, go talk to a therapist about it. Go do some emotional release therapy. You know, go to see somebody like you. Go to yoga class. Find a way to process those emotions so that they're not trapped in your body. They're not stuck there. A little story about asthma, because I just find this to be so interesting because the lungs are the seat of grief. I have a cousin that, when he was born with really bad asthma in Cuba. And in Cuba, you know, food is rationed. There's no freedom. So whatever stories you might hear about Cuba, really not true. Cuba can be a miserable place, and it is a miserable place, and everybody's trying to leave. My whole family left, with the exception of one or two people that are still there. But in any case, he had life-threatening asthma as a child all his life. They just waited with bated breath for him to have another asthma attack because it was him being rushed to the hospital, possibly not making it, like really serious, seriously bad asthma. He left Cuba, came to the States, and he has never had an asthma attack again. Like, from the minute he touched down here, he has never had an asthma attack. And what's so interesting to me is that he's happy here. And he's not changing his diet. He's not eating, you know, no wheat, no dairy. He's eating whatever he wants. You know, he eats a lot of meat. He drinks a lot of beer. He's, you know, he's a typical Cuban guy. And he's fine. Asthma's gone. Mm. So to me, it's totally related to the grief. Absolutely. Okay. So that being said, some things that you can do to help kind of process some of the emotions in the lungs is conscious breathing. Okay, really taking deep breaths. A lot of people really walk around their life just kind of breathing shallowly, not really being mindful of how little air we're taking in on a regular basis. So oftentimes, like if you, even if you can't do meditation, just kind of sit for a moment and see if you can find your breath. Really deep, breathe in deeply through your nose and then exhale completely. And you have some suggestions about conscious breathing that I think are really helpful to people, if you could just mention
them. Yeah, I do. I think it's just really important. You know, sometimes people feel like they need to absolutely set aside this huge amount of time to consciously breathe. And what I found is even a few really good deep breaths a day can really make a difference. Or if you recognize that you're very stressed, to just take a few deep breaths can make a huge difference. And so very often what I will tell, you know, clients is just make it a habit that when you're waiting for an elevator, each few seconds you just take in a deep breath and then you slowly let it go until the elevator gets there. Or if you're waiting for a cab, or if you're waiting while you're calling somebody on the phone and the phone is ringing and you're listening to their message, idle time where you can't do anything anyway unless you're, you know, sitting thinking about what you're going to do next or what just happened, take that time to take care of yourself, to take a few deep breaths. Because if you don't breathe deeply, you're breathing in just the same air over and over again. You're not allowing your lungs to clear out and clean air to come in and go out. And it's almost like it's like stale air.
Stagnation, yeah.
Yeah, it's stagnation. It's just stale, kind of toxic air. It's very, very important to breathe deeply.
Okay. Another suggestion, and this would be helpful just to open up that heart center, because oftentimes you'll find people with lung issues tend to be concave. They like bring their shoulders in. They kind of hunch over. It's really a way to protect their heart from some sort of perceived sadness or whatever it is. But it's what's great to do is roll up a blanket, lay it down on the ground, and then lay down on the blanket so that your spine is running along the blanket, and let the blanket support your head as well. So a big roll so that it elevates your back, your spine off the ground. Lay down on it so that your spine's laying on this blanket, and then just kind of bring your arms out to the side and take deep breaths like that and allow yourself to relax into that blanket. And what will happen is that that whole heart center will start to open up and will help you bring in more oxygen into your lungs. So that would certainly
Great.
Be helpful.
Yeah, it also stretches out all of the muscles and all of the tissues that are in the chest and the lung. And as you breathe, it helps the internal organs and everything internally also even stretch out and open up more. So that breath, it's almost like you're in that position to stretch, and then the breath further stretches it.
And that you can, you know, many people have had emotional releases from just doing that.
Just doing that, absolutely.
Just laying there. If you lay there long enough, and what happens is, of course, is that you're laying there, and if this is an area of tightness for you, within 5 minutes, if you even were to lay there that long, it starts to become challenging, mm-hmm. right? And then people at that point are like, okay, then I'm done. It's like if you can just lay there past that challenging part, you're gonna like access an even deeper layer of tightness and release, and that might actually give you that emotional release that you need and are looking for, you know.
Right, right.
So that would certainly be helpful. Other things that you can do are yoga, help to open up that area. Yoga is all about opening the heart center. Of course, if you smoke, try to stop. You know, investigate methods in which to do so, like hypnosis perhaps, or herbs, homeopathic remedies. You do a lot of homeopathy in your practice, or you use a lot of homeopathy for yourself.
Well, I do some for myself, but I suggest it to clients often because I think it's something that's coming back and being more respected lately. But I think it's something to look into because it does work with physical problems as well as psychological or emotional problems. And I find that if there's a pattern where somebody says, I don't know, I've just always felt like this. This is kind of how I feel in my body. I've always felt like this, and I just want to get past it. A good homeopath can really figure out, identify what the right remedy is for you. And it can change the energy in your body, and it therefore changes your outlook on life, mm-hmm. and very often can change pain and things like that that you're having in your body. So, you know, one or two sessions with a homeopath is well worth your time and money.
Yeah, it's a very subtle science, but it has very profound effects.
Very profound. It can vary.
And nutritionally speaking, what I always tell people is, of course, if you have lung issues, and this goes for large intestine issues as well, is avoid wheat and dairy because they create a lot of mucus in the body. They create a lot of inflammation in the gastrointestinal tract, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the gastrointestinal tract in our next segment when we talk about the large intestine. But whenever you have inflammation in the bowels, it's going to lead to problems all over. It's going to radiate outward. So if you have inflammation in the bowels, you will probably develop allergies or some sort of asthma or some sort of breathing difficulties because that inflammation just kind of goes outward. Same with arthritis is another inflammatory reaction. Heart disease is an inflammatory reaction. So you really want to be careful of foods that you take in on a regular basis that could promote that inflammation. So wheat and dairy are really on the top of the list. Also refined sugar. If you eat a lot of junk food, you want to really minimize that. But unfortunately, as I'm saying this, I'm realizing that if people have a lot of grief and they're holding in a lot of sadness, they tend to use these, use cigarettes, use food as a way to medicate to not have to deal with the fact that they're feeling so sad. So as I say this, I realize that it's a whole big process. So you might want to start out with just the breathing exercises and laying on the blanket and taking a yoga class and going to see you, maybe work some of that emotional stuff out, and then get to a place where you're strong enough where then you can start to address the dietary adjustments.
Right.
You know?
A good thing with dietary, I find, is that even for myself, before sometimes I can't make a decision about what to do next, and so I'll go to the refrigerator instead of making a phone call or cleaning up or whatever I have to do. And if I just take that moment to say that's what my pattern is, to go to the refrigerator rather than to just take the time to just think what should I do next and just do something, it just becomes a pattern after a while of avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can take a moment before you go to the refrigerator or to the closet and just think, oh, when do I do this? I'm doing this again. Sometimes you'll kind of catch yourself and stop.
It's like a habit, right?
It's
and
a
what
habit.
Did I tell you about habits? Habit is a hell to which people cling in an attempt to stop the flow of change.
There you go.
So that's by Carolyn Mays. Anyway, you're listening to Healthy Lifestyles with Barbara Mendez on TribecaRadio.net. My guest today is Jane Gattanis. We're talking about how to release emotional toxicity. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Healthy Lifestyles with Barbara Mendez on TribecaRadio.net. This is Barbara, and I'm a registered pharmacist and nutritionist in private practice in New York City. Thanks for tuning in. So my guest today is Jane Gattanis. Jane is an occupational therapist and is trained in cranial, sacral, visceral, and somato-emotional release therapies. And she trained at the Upledger Institute, which is a world-renowned institute down in Florida. She's in private practice in New York City. And what we're talking about today is how to detoxify emotional toxicity from the body. So we've been focusing on the lungs the last two segments. We're talking about the lungs and the large intestine because we're heading into the fall. The fall is the time of the metal elements in Chinese medicine, and what is governed by the metal elements are the lungs and the large intestine. And the health of these two organ systems dictate the health of your skin and your hair, things like this that people may not even associate with lung health or gastrointestinal health. I want to quickly just mention Carolyn Mays is this wonderful writer, and she talks about the seven chakra centers, which are energy vortexes in the body that are invisible, but they're like they're intangible energy centers in different areas of the body. The lungs are the fourth chakra, okay? And they're associated, so the organ systems that are affected in the fourth chakra are the heart and circulatory system, the lungs, shoulders and arms, ribs and breasts, the diaphragm, and the thymus gland, which controls your immune system, which is interesting that it's right there. And the emotional issues that are associated with the fourth chakra are the grief that we've been discussing, grief and anger, love and hatred, resentment and bitterness, self-centeredness, loneliness, forgiveness and hope and trust, things like this. So if you can relate to any of those things, if you feel like that's something that you might be carrying around in your body, you might want to consider some of the things that we've been talking about today to start working through them. I wanted to ask you one thing, though, Jane. Other than nutritional problems or environmental problems or even emotional problems, there are often people that have none of that and have structural problems from some other from an accident, from being birthed, you know, in a difficult, challenging birth that they never really resolve. And that can create a lot of really bad problems in that area as well, no?
Yeah, it can. There can be trauma or problems from being in a constant position in utero for a long time, problems with the way the baby is handled during delivery, and also if there's allergies to foods and there it creates a lot of inflammation in the intestines, and that inflammation creates like almost adhesions or scarring, then sometimes the body can't release those adhesions. And so then you end up growing up with those adhesions inside of you the whole time, and it might not be painful at all. It might be not painful for a few years and then later in life cause problems with you know, nutritional intake and digestion and elimination and all of that. So to me, it's like going to a body worker, the kind of work that I do, the cranial work and the visceral work, it's like a car tune-up. You know, you get your car tuned up, you make sure you have all your fluids flowing and everything twirling and, you know, moving correctly. It's like that. So there are many instances, surgery, even just sensitivities, even if it's not allergies to foods, you know, anything like that.
And if it is from, let's say, an accident or something like that, what kind of work would you, which of your modalities would you use on a person like that?
If they've been in an accident.
Yeah, and it's creating some sort of adhesion in their lung area.
It depends what I find, and what and I find things through feeling it gently, but sensing what's going on in the body. So sometimes I'll find that that there's a certain amount of motion that you should that I should be able to feel through your skin into your almost your bones, but your muscles, your organs, the tissues that are in between and surrounding all of your organs. And if those aren't moving and flowing properly, I can feel it. It just feels like something that's stuck, that won't, that just doesn't move as well as it should. And so I go in and just very gently help get more motion or more movement to that area of the body.
Okay, so it's all very specific to the person that you're working on.
Very specific to the person.
Okay.
And that's if there's a structural problem. But if there is an accident, then there's usually an emotional component to it also.
Trauma,
you know,
from
which
the accident.
Is the trauma, the fear of the moment or the anger that you were feeling when the accident happened. It even happens during surgery. People have a lot of emotional repercussions from surgery, even though they're not awake. That's a whole other
story. Yeah, I know. It's fascinating. But it's fascinating. It's
true. It is fascinating. So when somebody's in an accident, very often I have to work on a few different levels. And it really depends on the person and what their body shows to me. Whatever way it wants to release it is fine with me, as long as it releases.
Right. Okay. All right. So if the lungs are yin, the largest organ that we'll be talking about today, and as I always say, health begins in the gastrointestinal tract. So if you're not healthy there, you're not going to be healthy anywhere. It's like New York City. That was so corny. Anyway, there are several medical experts who believe that there's only one disease, and that disease is constipation. If you're constipated, you're not clogged in the large intestine, but that congestion radiates out to all the organ systems, and then everything becomes congested. If you're eliminating properly, then you're not congesting the other organ systems. They're allowed to work properly. They're allowed to release toxins properly, filter toxins out of the body, and your overall health will improve if you're going to the bathroom regularly. Now, I got to tell you, I have clients that I see, mostly women, who have constipation. Some of them go once every 3 days. I have somebody that goes once a week, and they go to their doctors, and the doctor tells them, well, that's just normal for you. And let me just say, that's not normal for anybody. You should be going to the bathroom at the very least once a day. Ideally, which this is also unusual to find, is three times a day after you eat, the way children, the way babies go to the bathroom. But you should ideally be going at least once a day. If you're not going once a day, then there's something definitely going on there, and then that's only going to lead to problems later on down the road. So constipation, like I mentioned, is definitely a problem. Diarrhea is the other problem, is the other extreme of the same issue. Irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's disease, GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease. So all these things are some sort of toxicity in the gut that isn't being worked through. So let's say you have low or mid back pain, if you have headaches, if you have sinus congestion or sore throats, crankiness, a lack of energy, or even a lack of enthusiasm for life, you could very well need some sort of bowel cleanse or bowel cleansing technique. So what are your, in your experience, what kind of people come in? Or is there a personality type or is there an emotional component that you see in particular with people who have problems with the lower intestine?
I don't know if there's a specific personality type, but I think there are ways to deal with congestion in the lower intestine, and of course nutritionally, and that's your area of expertise. But I think also you have to get everything moving again. Mm-hmm. So if everything's been congested and everything there is stuck in there like a sardine can almost, and nothing can move and nothing can flow and the fluids can't get through, and it's been like that for years and years, it's just going to be really hard to make those changes, even if you make the nutritional changes. And so it's really nice if you make nutritional changes and go along with some kind of body work again, just like you would do for your car, to really free up a lot of the places that are stagnating, physically stagnant. There are certain parts of the colon that are very susceptible to being more stuck than other parts, and we can talk about that a little bit more, but those are a lot of the areas that we generally focus on that can make a huge difference pretty quickly.
So what you're saying is that if they can, you want something to move first. So oftentimes, instead of going through the emotional stuff first, maybe do the nutritional stuff first, and then once movement is created, the emotions will follow.
Right.
Like the emotions will start to process themselves.
Right.
Well, some of the emotions that are associated with the large intestine are control and power. So a lot of people can relate to that. Like, and I got to tell you, when I see somebody with some sort of ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease or whatever, it's very much usually women who are living life. They're very regimented in that they do the right thing. They go to they have very important jobs. They're great at their jobs. They're very much in control. They're in control of their exterior world. But inside, the way that they're living externally is not really congruent with what they're feeling internally. What they want something for themselves other than the way that they're living, and it's that conflict that's creating the problem. So they're trying to create control, and they're powerful on the outside, but inside, they're really scared and afraid and frustrated, and they're trying that, and that control issue is kind of creating this sort of tightening up in the bowels and creating this sort of constipation that then they use laxatives for, which then leads to this irritability and then this diarrhea. So that's like that kind of process kind of continues itself. So power and control are the issues that I see in that area, and we're going to talk a little bit about that when we come back, because right now we got to go to a break. But that's a huge issue, especially for women in this country. It's like we're doing a million things, running around taking care of kids, doing our jobs, you know, being there for everybody. And then what's left over for us? And then something has to take something takes a hit, and it's usually our health. Anyway, you're listening to Healthy Lifestyles with Barbara Mendez on TribecaRadio.net. My guest today is Jane Gattanis. We're talking about emotional toxicity. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Healthy Lifestyles with Barbara Mendez on TribecaRadio.net. My guest today is Jane Gattanis. Jane is an occupational therapist, and what we've been talking about is how to detoxify emotional toxicity from the body. We're focusing on the metal elements because we're heading into autumn, and the metal element governs autumn in Chinese medicine. And metal represents the large intestine and the lungs in Chinese medicine. So we're focusing on these two organ systems in the body. So earlier we talked about the lungs and how oftentimes if your lungs are congested or if there's some sort of coldness or dampness in the lungs, that could manifest itself as asthma or even skin conditions like eczema. So you might want to look at your own skin, see how you're doing, see if there's something that you could be doing nutritionally to help clean out the lungs or emotionally. And the emotional aspect of lung toxicity would be grief and sadness, unprocessed emotions. And now we're moving into the large intestine. And what I mentioned before we went to break is that oftentimes, and especially, you know, I believe this and I see it in my practice, but I also read it in all my studies and all the books that I have looked at. They just say the same thing, that this the lower bowels or the colon, the problems energetically in that area really have to do with power and control. And you know, unfortunately, we live in a society where we're trying to do one thing, we're trying to live our lives the way it's going to make everybody happy and nobody disappointed, and oftentimes it doesn't flow with what we really want for ourselves. And then this conflict is created that then leads to these problems with the bowels, like Crohn's disease and irritable bowel syndrome and things like that. So the only thing I'm going to add to that I think people often intuitively know what they need to do. It's like that little voice that we often try to reject or try not to listen to because it would require us to make such changes in our life and live our lives in a way that is so foreign to us, and that might disappoint the people around us and might disappoint our parents or our husbands or our wives or whatever it is. But that's the very thing you should be doing, because if you don't listen to that voice, illness develops. And that voice is trying to tell you something. So the younger you are, if you can listen to it when you're really, really young, then you're much better off, because it's much harder. And, you know, your parents are older and you're taking care of them. I mean, at that point, it's really hard to make change because the foundation could fall apart. But before you get married, before you have children, before you do all these things that make life more challenging, listen to that voice and do whatever it is. I mean, short of hurting other people, that's going to satisfy you. That's going to give you the life that you're looking for, because then you will find that a lot of these issues will clear up. So that being said, energetically speaking, the large intestine is a very large organ, okay, and it's attached to the small intestine. Is there a particular place in the large intestine that's vulnerable to congestion or any sort of problems?
There are a few of them. One place is where the stomach goes, kind of transforms into the duodenum. Mm-hmm. And then at these different junctions, these different parts of the organs, as they lead from one organ to the other, at that transitional part, what we call a sphincter, can be very, very touchy in terms of structurally as well as emotionally. Like there's one called the ileocecal junction, mm-hmm. which is right where the large intestines starts and the small intestines ends. And very often that can be related to stress. It's really, it's so clear sometimes when stress is just acting up in the body, that little area right there just acts up terribly.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell people where it is so they can have an idea of what?
Yeah. If you feel on the right side, down like where your appendix is, mm-hmm. and you come up a little bit and there's like a crest of your bone there. And if you put your pinky on that and you put your thumb on your belly button, and you go one third of the way from your pinky toward your belly button, it's around there.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
And so, but sometimes the pain can be there, but it can radiate like into your hip, or it can go even lower, like into your cecum, which is down where your appendix is. And so you don't always know that it's right there, but if you go to a therapist or somebody that palpates there, it's like, whoa, you know, you can really feel it there. Mm-hmm. I can just tell you a funny story of, not funny, but a couple of years ago, my mom called me and she said, oh, my hip is killing me and I think I'm going to need a hip replacement just like all my friends are getting. And I said, you know what, Mom, you don't know that. Go to a chiropractor, mm-hmm. and see if you can figure out what's going on. This is when I first started studying some of this work. And she went to the chiropractor, and the chiropractor said, you know, it's your bone. Your bone is fine. It seems to be your ileocecal valve, but mm-hmm. I don't know how to fix it. So I found a practitioner. 2 sessions, the pain totally went away. And I'll tell you that very often, if you take an x-ray, you'll see arthritis on a woman who's 75 years old. You're going to see that. And very often, I'm sure if she had gone to a surgeon, they would have taken an x-ray of the hip
and perhaps said, look, you know, you have arthritis there. Maybe you should get it replaced, or there's nothing I can do, or go on these medications. So that's just an interesting story.
And it
totally disappeared, yeah. Misdiagnosed. And she was going through a really stressful time at the time.
Yeah.
But the stress she really couldn't deal with psychologically. But physically, the therapist got rid of it in two sessions. So sometimes...
You know, I happen to know that a lot of people have ileocecal problems. And that area is such an important junction in the whole process of elimination that oftentimes the things get stuck there, get trapped, and it's a breeding ground for bacteria, parasites, and viruses, which then eventually can wreak havoc with the system. There's a lot of alternative practitioners out there that believe in purging parasites from the body in order to treat severe illnesses like cancer and AIDS, and because they believe that the parasites hold on to the disease, and then the parasite latches onto your gastrointestinal tract and creates all these problems. So so it's important to have a regular bowel movement to keep that area clean. Lots of fiber. So like you said, like sometimes you might want to start with a nutritional approach and then let the emotional part kind of follow after that. So lots of fiber supplements. Eat plenty of vegetables, especially the dark green leafy vegetables. If you can have a raw salad every day, that like acts like an intestinal broom and kind of sweeps things through your system. That would certainly be helpful. But you want to keep that area as clean as possible. What do you think of colonics, just out of curiosity?
I think some people really need colonics. I can't say that I go all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are some people that do and really feel great with it. Mm-hmm. It so depends on the individual. But I think for some people it's crucial, mm-hmm. because they're just so blocked up from so much poor eating and gobs of pasta and white rice and all of that working nutritionally could just take them a really long time to kind of move everything. So, you know, I think it depends on the individual. And right. I think also getting visceral manipulation, it can be really incredible. When I was pregnant, mm-hmm. I was incredibly constipated, I will say. And I was assisting in a visceral manipulation class. And after the class, the teacher offered me a session. And he worked in my abdominal area. And the next morning, I woke up, and I was not constipated from then on through the rest of my pregnancy.
Wow.
That is the truth.
Wow.
And that was amazing. And then and after that, I just kept studying this work because I just thought that was so real and that was so powerful.
Well, it's amazing because everybody that's pregnant, that's the number one complaint is constipation. Wow, that's great to know. Do you have the name of this guy? Because we could pass it on to a lot of people.
Well, I do the work now. You can come to me.
Okay.
But yeah.
Oh, so he was one of your teachers. Okay.
Yeah, in Florida. But it's very powerful. And all he did was really just getting, he got the intestines moving again.
Wow.
Because there was, you know, just a lot of blockage. And
okay, so if you're interested in knowing the best way to eat in order to promote health in these two areas, here are some suggestions, kind of things to keep in mind. Basically, it's harvest time, right? So what is in season right now? Apples are in season right now, great fruit to have during this time of year. Pears are in season. Figs are, you know, underappreciated. They're high in fiber. They're high in calcium, so they're a great source of calcium. And they help to promote fertility. Did you know that?
No.
So does pomegranate. Anything with seeds like that have the tendency to help promote fertility, which is also in that same area as the large intestine, second chakra sort of thing. So those are all great fruits to have. Grapes are also really good. As far as vegetables, again, you want to go with the dark green leafy vegetables. Lots of root vegetables, so carrots, beets, things like that. Winter squash is good, leeks are good, garlic, all those allium vegetables that have all that sulfur in them are great for helping to detoxify the liver, which then takes a burden off the large intestine and the lungs and all that. Brussels sprouts, kale, yams. I love yams. Yams are great for you. Collard greens, cauliflower, broccoli, all that stuff. You want to stick to beans, like beans and kidney beans. Brown rice, as far as grains, brown rice, oats, barley, wheat germ would also be great. And maybe when it comes to animal protein, stick with like the leaner sources of animal protein like fish, chicken, turkey, and some eggs, things like that. So we have actually run out of time, Jane. Thank you for coming on the air. That was fun to have you
Thanks
here today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Mike. It was nice to see you again. Okay, so tune in next week for another edition of Healthy Lifestyles with Barbara Mendez. But before we go, oh my God, Jane, please give us your information. So if somebody's listening and wants to get a hold of you, make an appointment, how would they contact you?
You can just call me. My number is 212-674-6610. or you can get information from my website, which is underway, janegatanis.com.
Very good. And if you want more information on me, just check out my website at www.lifestylenutrients.net. Thanks for tuning in. Talk to you next week.